Jefferson could have freed his slaves without in a way that benefited him, and I think there's a very simple procedure. He could have freed them and then hired them at the fair market value of their services, do exactly what they've been doing before. That would have benefited them, impoverished him, but if he had meant what he said, and we accept this interpretation. By the way, you must remember that phrase goes on. It says not only are they equal, they have certain inalienable rights. If they're inalienable, presumably they haven't succeeded in alienating them, and therefore Jefferson didn't own them. But he could have done this very easily, no problems, except to make him poor. I myself perfectly understand why he didn't. I failed to give away money or property that I own to other people myself, even people who, in some ways, it seems to be perfectly simple and straightforward. I think, by the way, that it isn't necessary that Jefferson was either meant man not to include slaves, or alternatively, a hypocrite. There's a third possibility, which was he was simply hopelessly muddled. And I incline towards that explanation of the phraseology. But let me continue to talk a little bit about a more general problem. It's a problem which I think splits the so-called American conservative movement very strongly. As far as I can see, the American conservative movement divides into two groups. One, a very large group, which is represented by the other two speakers here today. Another small group, which I claim to be representative of. We all regard Professor Friedman as our high priest in this area. And there really is very little philosophically that we have in common. And the discussion today rather fits this. We have been discussing what is the American tradition. Well, this is an interesting historical problem, but I never find that any of the people who talk about this explain to me what relevance this has to the present day. Let us suppose, for example, that we found the minutes of the conference that passed the Declaration of Independence. And in those minutes, we discovered that they had carefully discussed this matter and decided that Negroes were subhuman and probably should be killed, but as a compromise, we will leave them as slaves. Would anybody regard this as of any relevance to present-day matters? I take it no one would, or at least I hope no one would. And I don't see why we should regard the examination of what is the true tradition as binding us today. It's an interesting historical problem. It also probably has something to do, it is one way of finding out what Americans today think about things, and hence, if you're trying to deal with the present-day society, you have to know that. But in any event, if you're going to look at what Americans think about today, you find there a whole pile of traditions. The literature exists, as it exists, says that there is a difference, basic difference between the Declaration of Independence, political thought represented by that, and by the Constitution and the Federalist Papers on the other hand. I'm not a terribly good scholar, and so if I say I agree with this distinction, I trust none of you will pay much attention to it. But it does seem to me that we started, in a real sense, with two opposing general views of the nature of the enterprise we were starting with. We have picked up another, the Wilsonian, the general consensus, the liberal consensus was that Professor Tonsor picked. Now, all of these seem to me traditions. One could talk about which is the oldest, if one wishes. I think there's no doubt that the oldest would be the development out of the Age of Reason in England, which in a way is represented by the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. The middle level is the Declaration of Independence. What I is a sort of bit of nasty propaganda. I usually refer to it as the development of the 19th century as sort of the German Romantic movement, but I must admit that's a bit unkind, a use of bad language to win the arguments. And it's not my special field anyway. But I don't see why. I think there may be a good answer to this question, but I never get it. Why should we regard the fact that we have a tradition of something or other as evidence that we should stick with it? And in particular, if there seem to be several traditions, why do we look for, quote, the true tradition, close quote, instead of just choosing among these traditions the one which seems to be best on extra-traditional reasons?
Thank you.